The key phrase to watch from America's central bankers this week. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Federal Reserve policymakers won't raise interest rates at their meeting this week, but they may offer clues about when. Julian Emanuel is Executive Director, U.S. Equity and Derivatives Strategy at UBS Securities. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
So we have the Federal Reserve meeting this week. You're looking for the presence or absence of a special phrase?
Yes, I would say that investors only need to think of two words, considerable period, with regard to interest rates. If the Fed removes the phrase considerable period, the market is going to expect the first hike to occur earlier than the June time frame of 2015, and by default may in fact imply, once the rate hikes get underway, that they're going to be more forceful than the market is currently discounting.
All right, so maybe early spring or springtime rather than late spring. Now, voters in Scotland, as we've been reporting, vote for or against independence later this week. Financial professionals like yourselves are watching the outcome?
Well, it's definitely a concern, and certainly if you're a currency trader, it's been a big concern because you've seen large declines in the British pound. Conversely, you actually haven't seen the British stock market move altogether that much, so the signals are mixed.
I watched this in Texas. I once wrote about what might happen if California split off from the Union. In some ways, it's more like an EU country, but that's a discussion for another time, I guess.
Steely Dan did write about California tumbling into the sea. We don't see that happening either.
All right. Julian Emanuel at UBS Securities. Thank you.
Thank you.
If you're checking out of a Marriott hotel this week, you might see an envelope inviting you to leave a tip for the housekeeper. The company is adding the envelopes to 160,000 rooms in the U.S. and Canada to remind guests that even though they might not see the person who cleans their room, that doesn't mean they shouldn't tip. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson reports.
Unlike a valet or bellhop, the housekeeping staff can be invisible to guests. So Marriott wants to make sure they aren't stiffed when it comes to a tip. Henry Hardevelt is the founder of the travel research company Atmosphere Research Group. He says the envelope helps personalize these workers.
I think they want someone to know that the room isn't cleaned by Rosie the robot, that there is a human who is working there.
Hardevelt says some hotels already encourage tipping with a small sign in the room or include it as a fee on the bill.
It's a more widespread practice outside the United States, akin to how restaurants, for example, will include a service charge of 10% or more on the bill when you're dining there.
Typically, housekeepers and maids in this industry make about $9.20 an hour, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. A tip might be $1 to $5 for each night of a stay. So some say that if Marriott was really concerned about how much their housekeepers are making, they could simply give them a raise. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
A big corporate merger could be brewing. The Wall Street Journal is reporting this morning that beer colossus Anheuser-Busch InBev is looking for $122 billion in financing to buy its huge rival, SAB Miller. If a merger happens, it would bring into one vast cauldron Budweiser, Rolling Rock, and Stella on one side, and Miller, Foster's, and Peroni on the other, among many, many others. Through a joint venture, Coors, as well, SAB Miller has already approached Heineken, but that was rejected, but Miller may try again. About 10 minutes after I threw out my entire collection of vinyl records, the digital generation went out and bought a turntable. In Chicago, Nova Sappho has this update on the move back to vinyl.
At Chicago's Dusty Groove record store, cashier Rachel Nelson regularly chats with customers buying vinyl records, and she's developed a theory as to what's driving sales.
My theory, a lot of it is definitely a nostalgia factor. Kids, as they get older, they also reconnect with their parents a little more, so they may, you know, hit up their parents' record collection, see what it's all about.
27-year-old Lyndon McCarty, who's shopping nearby, says there's another factor.
It sounds clear to me. Sounds more like if you close your eyes, you're in the actual room that it was recorded in.
Vinyl record enthusiasts do go on and on about the superior sound, but they also cherish the feel of a vinyl record, the artwork on the cover, the history of holding an original print.
You know, it's like reading a hardcover book versus a paperback book or an ebook.
That's Rick Wowjack. He's the owner of Dusty Groove, which opened nearly 20 years ago as an online store. Now he's got a physical location, which Rolling Stone listed as one of the best record stores in the country.
At the time when we started, there were still labels putting out vinyl. It was a very small market, but it never died completely.
Chicago has been particularly vibrant with more than 30 record stores, but the city now has company. There's a nationwide vinyl resurgence. In less than a decade, sales have grown from 1 million to 6 million, which is still a pittance compared to the 50 billion in streaming music downloads. But vinyl is doing well enough that major retailers like Urban Outfitters and some Whole Foods stores are now selling vinyl records.
And the thing that's great about the vinyl revival is seeing a generation that I think the music industry had written off 10 years ago as people that were only going to download and maybe only steal, seeing these people become very active, aggressive consumers of a physical item.
Wowjack now has a little corner of his store dedicated to yet another vestige of music's past.
The cassette is trying to make a comeback. I can't say everything is selling very well on cassettes.
Thank goodness.
Yes, yes.
That's one trend that mercifully has not gathered steam just yet. In Chicago, I'm Novosafo for Marketplace.
And that is because I still have all of my cassettes. I also just read that vinyl is made from the ethylene molecule minus a hydrogen atom. Wine has ethyl alcohol. The word vinyl comes from the Latin word for wine, vinum. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.